If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Have you tried changing your health year on year, resolving that this year things are going to be different, but nothing seems to change? Oftentimes, when things are not changing, we are following many wellness myths and not looking at the full picture, including our nutrition, recovery, stress management, leaving out mind-body connection. I want to introduce you to Wellness Redefined, a new podcast from Rufilion Media that's here to dispel all your myths about wellness and fitness while sharing stories of how we've redefined what it means to be healthy. On each episode, we'll be talking to experts from all walks of life who will share their own unique wellness journey and offer their perspective. I am your host, Tamika Rochester, founder and CEO of Harlem Cycle, a premier wellness space in New York City with a focus on indoor cycling. I've been an advocate for wellness since as early as I can remember. So if this sounds like something that could help change your life, go ahead and pause the show you're listening to and subscribe to Wellness Redefined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, folks. Welcome to Inclusive Collective, where we share stories and learnings of inclusive people, organizations, and innovation. I am your co-host, Nadia Butt, and I'm an organizational development and belonging strategist. And I am joined by my co-host and friend, Rob Hadley, a people and culture strategist specializing in DE&I and people analytics. Hi, Rob.
Hello, Nadia.
How are you today? What,
do you notice anything?
You're wearing the hoodie.
I'm wearing the hoodie. It's my John Fetterman look.
In honor of our newest senator.
That's I'm wearing a giant oversized hoodie with our logo on it.
With our logo and what's on. Yeah, I did send that to you. I'm so glad that you're wearing it. I wasn't sure if you'd open it and be like, what did she get me this time?
I was thinking there are really big popular shows where they probably don't have pictures of themselves on a hoodie at this point, right?
Yeah, maybe.
We may be out in front of it, but I like it.
I like it. And then the back's pretty cool too, right?
Yeah. You do a great job. You have the logo of Rufilion underneath the hood.
Yeah.
There's only, what, three of these in existence?
Yeah. So if people really want one, they should let us know because we can order you one if it's something. We'll have to share a picture of what they look like. They're fun. I think they're really fun.
I did tell my son that I was going to pick him up from school wearing it, and he was not thrilled.
He wasn't. So. He's like, Dad, I really don't need you to like show up with a picture of yourself on your hoodie.
Picture of Nadia and Rob.
Yeah.
And then I do love that they're giant, right? That's what the kids love, right? Like they love giant oversized hoodies.
Yeah, they keep you warm though. No? You're in Utah.
I still prefer a little form fitting.
Oh, okay.
I'm a little old fashioned that way. Skinny jeans, as you know.
Yeah, skinny jeans. So we're going all deets today on this episode.
We're going all deets. We had a guest and we had to reschedule. That happens.
There's a lot of viruses going around. Yes, there's a lot of viruses going around.
So we're going to switch it up. We're going to do some deets. And we'll go through. We have a few stories to talk about. A lot of fun stories. I think you texted me every story work-related that's happening in the world. And so
I'm pretty sure I sent you like maybe 10 or 12 stories. You probably were like,
I think it was 36. Yeah.
It's a lot. So we did narrow it down to like the top four that we want to talk about today.
Top four we want to talk about. Let's start with, can we talk about law school? Yeah.
Law school. Let's talk about law school.
One of my other hobbies.
Did you know that I was pre-law in undergrad before I decided that it was like going to be the worst decision of my life?
Well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about how that would have worked out for you. So the good people, Nadia, at the Wall Street Journal, they have worked themselves up quite a bit over the fact that this past week, a panel of the American Bar Association voted to eliminate the requirements that law school applicants take the LSAT or another standardized admission test. In an editorial titled "Law Schools Without LSATs, Well, Don't That Beat All? Pass the Lemonade." I made that last part up.
Okay.
I do declare. The journal argues that eliminating the LSAT will harm people from less privileged backgrounds, and that untested law students will arrive at law school less prepared for the material, less experienced with the rigorous test format of the bar exam. So this issue is being coupled with the fact that the Supreme Court is well on its way to eliminating affirmative action, as we've discussed here before, Nadia. Yeah. You know, affirmative action is a super complex topic, so we won't go too deep into that. There's a couple things on this that made me chuckle. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it as well. But first, you know, schools can still require the LSAT. They just don't have to. That's basically what this means. It doesn't mean that it goes away forever. Also, there's very little correlation between the LSAT score and performance in law school.
In law school.
And performance
on
the bar
exam. Or even after post.
So there's no, there's no real reason. So, you know, Harvard and Yale are eliminating the LSAT altogether as well as an entrance requirement. You know, and then this argument that this will hurt diversity because someone with poor grades could have a high LSAT score, and then that would put them on the radar of some of these elite law schools. That is interesting to me because I was thinking, like, couldn't it work the other way where someone that had really awesome grades could have a poor LSAT score and that would basically eliminate them if they did poorly on a test that wasn't necessarily written for them or was written in a way that was non-inclusive for certain demographics, which we know it is. So a lot of curious things. Any thoughts on the LSAT?
I don't know if I have concerns or issues with standardized testing. I think I just don't know enough about them. And I feel like in many ways they can be exclusionary because I think of folks that might have a learning, like a difference in learning ability. I think of like neurodivergent student, like people who with their backgrounds. And then, I think of folks that are from less privileged backgrounds. It is interesting that this was a decision made. So what were the universities again that have eliminated it?
Harvard and Yale are doing this and are getting rid of it as an entrance exam requirement. And a lot of them will keep it. I mean, I think that there's this assumption implicit in that editorial that Harvard and Yale are just going to run out and grab people off the streets and then let them be lawyers and be Harvard and Yale educated lawyers, right? So there's this undertone that, you know, the people that don't belong there are going to be allowed to be lawyers at prestigious universities. And so so to me, that feels a little bit offensive as well,
just in the way that they
talk about it. In law schools, there are always more qualified applicants, right, for these spots at these elite law firms and medical schools and business schools, right?
Sure, sure.
So there are less spots than there are people that are qualified, right?
Right.
And so they're going to be fine. They're going to find people. They're going to figure out the best way to find the most qualified people and the people who will be the best lawyers. And I get a little bit tired. I don't know if you've had a lot of affirmative action conversations lately, but I do get tired of talking about affirmative action. People say, well, race can't be the only thing that's involved in these admissions decisions. And of course that's true. Of course that, and it never has been. It's been one of many factors that universities consider. But in the legal system, we're talking about lawyers. We know that the legal system doesn't do any favors to people that are underrepresented or minoritized. And so it is really important to have racial diversity in our elite law schools as well. It's
absolutely
really an important factor that should be considered above a lot of others. And so it's really important. And I think that people are really worried that we're going to have bad lawyers all of a sudden, which I'm not sure they were worried about that before.
There are some bad lawyers out there already. But
bad lawyers are the ones that poor people have.
That went to really good schools, right? Yeah, yeah, totally. I mean, we have some politicians that are lawyers that went to some really top-notch schools. So that's a really interesting article. Thank you for sharing that. Anything else you wanted to add on to that?
No, let's go to the next thing.
Can you hear the dog in the background? Because Mr. Wiggles is having a blast over here. Sure. The next item here. So the Wall Street Journal had an article that was called "Logistics Companies Are Diversifying Hiring, But Challenges Exist." And so this was a really interesting article, mostly about supply chain. So more women and marginalized people are joining the supply chain workforce. What exists today that still continues to perpetuate is that there are still pay disparities between women and men, and then white employees and marginalized groups of people. There are still off-color jokes, so still many microaggressions that are occurring in this particular workforce within supply chain. And then additionally is safety concerns. So like think of the work maybe in warehouses, areas where people are, kind of doing a little bit more labor type work. So the safety concerns still exist. So I know you love numbers. So women make up 39% of supply chain employees. These are distribution center workers to C-suite executives. And this is as of May of this year. This is from Gartner. And then people of color make up 32% of supply chain positions. 10% of that of those folks are in VP type positions. And so I found this to be interesting. I know you were like supply chain, like who cares? But it's a different avenue for me, a different type of industry for me. In many senses, it's always kind of been male dominated. It continues to be. It's nice to see that there's starting to be a little bit of an increase with women and POC. I would like to see it increase. But what I think makes me weary is the pay disparities, the different level of jobs that these folks might hold within the company. And then the off-color jokes, the microaggressions, just those behaviors that might exist that may not welcome or make people feel psychologically safe. And then just the safety concerns in general, because this type of work is really is probably very intense in terms of like strength and so forth. So what are any thoughts on from your end in terms of this article?
No, I think that those numbers hold up. They're probably a few years behind what you see in some other industries that are less, you know, we would think of as less male dominated. But most industries are male dominated. And if you look at the funnel and the disparity between those that are frontline workers and C-suite executives, similar funnels tend to persist across industries. That's a little bit, you know, the numbers that you just quoted are a little bit more striking. And again, I think that you probably find that like some of these industries that are more slower to adopt more diverse and inclusive practices and workforces. Sure. So construction, logistics, things like that. So, you know, all of these industries have to transition, right? Like there's no going back. There's a shortage of labor and qualified labor. And so you're going to continue to see these industries diversify. And it depends on what it will, it may be a little bit rockier for some, perhaps like in this particular case. But I mean, I think that, you know, there was another story that, you know, that we talked about, and we're not going to go into great detail, but the fact that there was an article this week about how Facebook ads for female truckers, right? So in the trucking industry, they were not necessarily targeting women. They were sending all of their trucking ads to men, right? And so there's just, you know, there's a ton of things for these types of industries that are a little bit slower than what we'd normally think. And they're moving into it now. So they need a lot of help, and hopefully they'll start to be a little bit more forward looking, and some of the things you're talking about will resolve.
Yeah, you know, that makes me think too, like, I wonder if, you know, mostly because these companies have always been dominated by male employees. And, you know, I often sometimes think of like how flexible is the workplace in terms of its hours. And I would imagine like trucking does probably not provide for like flexibility. And I don't want to speak for most women, but many of the clients that I've worked with where their employees, the sentiment is that many women leave the workplace because it does not provide flexible work hours. And so it is interesting, and I'm curious, like, if it was just like a decision that was made for those Facebook ads because it was like, yeah, this is just who we've always marketed these roles to, and these are our type of candidates, or if it was, like, in consideration after they'd done research to say, well, we don't really, we know that women aren't going to apply for this job. And so we're not going to advertise to them. We're not going to spend our advertising dollars. But it is something for, if you are in marketing or advertising, for you just to think through, like, how do you get your data around who you market to and yeah, why? Yeah.
So, and I know, and the female truckers were quick to point this out to Facebook and Meta. So, and I don't think you want to get on the wrong side of female truckers, to be honest.
No, I don't think so at all.
You don't want to offend female truckers, right? No. So we love female truckers on this show, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks for that, Nadia. I love that you love the supply chain.
I do. You know,
you're a huge fan of supply chain. So we'll bring you more supply chain news with Nadia going forward.
Thank you.
Let's take a quick break. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back with more deets.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, folks, welcome back to our All Deets episode. Rob and I are kind of moving forward with two more stories from this past week in terms of what was happening in the news related to diversity, equity, inclusion. Rob, how do you feel about 4-day work weeks?
Well, honestly, I think weekends are too long to start with, to be honest.
Really?
And I think that's because there's no school during the weekends. So
okay.
As long as we're not talking about 4-day school weeks, then I'm in.
Got it. Okay. Well, Fortune magazine provided some information. So apparently there was a 4-day work week trial, kind of where these companies piloted a 4-day work week in the US and Ireland, 33 companies with over 900 employees. This pilot lasted for 6 months. And so they piloted a 4-day work week. And some of the benefits that they kind of noticed or observed is that the average revenue increased by 38%. Absentee days decreased, and over the 6 month period, that resignation and turnover also decreased. These particular companies that had done the pilot and trial are actually continuing to kind of implement the 4-day work week because they found benefits out of it. And I'm just so curious, like, what your thoughts are.
I am super dubious on the data that they have.
Oh, really? Why?
Right. This is from a group called 4-Day Work Week Global, right?
That's hilarious.
These are people that have dedicated their lives to proving that a 4-Day Work Week. They've dedicated their lives to an additional day off per week. So
that is so funny. You know, trust your sources. This is a great example of where you get your sources from, right?
38%. I mean, so we've talked about 4-Day Work Week a little bit in the past, right? So I always think that flexibility is the only answer for all of these different scenarios and different ways that we can work. So 4-day work weeks are going to work for some organizations. Remote only is going to work for some organizations. You got to be there every day, and you got to be there every day for 6 days a week. For whatever reason, I don't know. Right. So each company has to be able to make that determination for themselves. Employees are going to self-select into the environments that fit with them. I think the majority of employees will value flexibility. We've talked about a lot of companies that go to a 4-day work week, employees feel greater stress to produce in a shorter amount of time. So they don't do less work. They just pack it into 4 days. And those 4 days are frantic. So sometimes 4 days work great. And sometimes, you know, I like to work, you know, 2 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, I'm really flexible.
You're pretty efficient.
That's what I like to do. And so, you know, from a diversity perspective, I think that report that you were talking about, it shows that there's some advantage to caregivers. There's less stress and cost associated with childcare. If you're working 4 days a week, that at least cuts your childcare bill down a little bit. So advantages for caregivers, and that totally makes sense. But I think the only losing proposition is inflexibility. right? I think that's something that workers, you know, for the long term are just not going to tolerate. And I think it's just going to be a losing proposition in the marketplace for talent.
Sure. That's a great point. I think you're right. It all really goes back to your culture of the organization. This may not work. It's not one size fits all for every company. But I thought that was interesting. I actually appreciated that they piloted this. Oftentimes, organizations don't have the risk-taking ability to just try something out, see what how it might benefit them or not benefit them, and then decide if they want to continuously improve or enhance or go back to what they were doing previously. So kudos to them for at least trying. Sure. Right.
Yeah, I think we did a number of experiments over the course of, you know, with groups that I worked with. And you always find that whenever you break the paradigm, it doesn't really matter. Right. Which is good. Right. I think the things that we've long been attached to, people are starting to question. And usually people are flexible enough to make it work if, you know, if there's trust between the management of the organization and the employees.
For sure.
I also am going to start another organization, Nadia. Do you want to know what it's called?
Oh, what's it going to be called?
It's called the 6-day school week.
Okay, organization. Tell me about
global. Yeah.
We're going to
make sure that there's a 6-day school week everywhere globally. It's going to be great.
Oh my God. I don't think your son will approve, but okay. shall we go on to the last DEET of the week?
Yeah. This is I'm checking my notes here. This one's called Not Being Fun at Work, right?
Oh, so, you know a lot about that.
It's not about me. It's not about me. The French Supreme Court ruled that a man was wrongfully fired by a Paris-based consulting firm for allegedly failing to be fun enough at work. Mr. T is the way that it's framed in the article. It's not the actual Mr. T, not... Okay. You know, the guy from the A-team, was fired from a company called Cubic Partners in 2015 after refusing to participate in seminars and weekend social events that his lawyers claimed included excessive alcoholism and promiscuity, according to court documents. Mr. T claimed that the company's fun culture included humiliating and intrusive practices such as mock sexual acts, crude nicknames, and forcing him to share his bed with another employee during work functions.
Oh my God.
Nadia, the floor is yours on this one.
Where do we even start? I don't even know. I mean, he was dismissed for basically what the company claimed is him not like having fun, and the fun translated into those things you just said. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I cannot imagine if I worked for an organization who thought that was what was indicative of fun and then fired me for not participating in those things. Wait, what was this last item of like, what was getting hotel room, sharing hotel rooms? I can't.
That one was the other. Look, I thought this was going to be an edge case. So thank you so much for bringing this to my attention. We're laughing, but I thought it was going to be an edge case, right? So where there was an introvert that was let go for, you know, like that's perhaps it was an organization that was highly social, and they just didn't fit in. They didn't socialize enough.
And they're like, weren't taking clients to meetings, you know, or okay.
Yeah, we have, maybe. You know, we know that corporate America, or even probably Western corporate culture, is highly discriminatory against introverts, right? Like it's an extrovert world if you're in a large organization.
People living with disabilities. Yeah. Well, in general, like everyone, but like even with people who might be neurodivergent, right?
Yeah. And that's what I thought I was getting into when I started down this path. And then it gets to forced him to share a bed with another employee during work events.
That's insane.
And then I was like, okay, well, this is kind of gone off the rails a little bit. So, you know, this looks it's pretty clear cut. And, you know, and I think that the audacity of then firing him for not being fun. Like, do you think that was hilarious? I think you hit on it, right? Best practice for company events. Make sure that they're inclusive. Make sure they're inclusive of all people's lifestyles, right? So, for example, the fact that caregivers, you know, don't want to have to be included in something sort of after work event. So do things during the day, do things that have, there's options for people that don't drink alcohol as well, you know, and avoid, mock sexual acts.
I can't even. Know,
that's a,
I don't understand even what that means. Like, that's...
Yeah, I was just... I kept going through it going, like, is someone going to explain to me what's going on here?
Yeah, like... So, did you think I sent you, like, a fake article?
Like, right? It's like The Onion or something.
Yeah. No, that's hilarious. I'm also, like, no offense to our French listeners here, but, like, there's been a lot of different rulings that have come out, in particular to the workplace in France. Like women wearing hijab and head coverings and like, and then this, I'm like, what is happening in the workplace there? So it's just interesting to me. I'm curious if like, if we have any French listeners and what their thoughts are, like folks that work in France.
All right.
What their thoughts are. So reach out to us and let us know what's happening and what these mock hotel nights are. What is that?
Solicit views from our French listeners. I love that.
That's right.
Awesome. Well, that's all we got for the deets this week.
Let's
take a quick break and we'll come back with rants and raves.
Welcome back, folks. We are at the segment of our rants and raves. Rob, you flipped the coin and it looks like you are up first.
I want to rave about my sweatshirt.
You can rave about your sweatshirt. I love that you love it. It makes me so happy.
I do want to rave. It is a product-based rave I have here, right? Oh. So, Nadia, as you know, this week, Molly Levitt, our friend from Remarkable US, she did a challenge on LinkedIn. She challenged people to say how they were going to be more inclusive from an accessibility standpoint in their work. But as part of this, and so I contributed to that discussion, and you were in there as well, part of this was the back and forth. She sent a link to a disability-owned business gift guide from undivided.io. And I don't know if you had a chance to go in there, but I went in there and I loved everything in that gift guide. And, you know, really great stuff from health and wellness to different home products, food, art, pets gifts even particular site. So I loved it. And so thank you to Molly, and I think everyone should go check it out as you're doing your holiday shopping, and we'll post a link to that in the show notes.
That's great. Is it curated for people living with disabilities, or are these products designed by folks who are living with a disability?
They are disability-owned business products. Yeah, so they are
from
entrepreneurs that have some sort of a disability.
Very cool. All right. Yeah. Well,
check it out.
Make
really
your
good
holiday
stuff on there.
Shopping easy. Yeah, that's great. All right. You ready for my rant?
Let's do it.
So, sports. We're back to sports,
here
as always. So I just want to advise or encourage westernized organizations, sports teams like the NBA, NFL, kind of other groups, to take notice of how the announcers at the World Cup are announcing the names and cities correctly of people and places. I think that other sports organizations can take some great best practices in learning how to say people's names and the cities all across the globe into consideration. So it's kind of a rave for the World Cup, and a rant for other sports organizations that don't really do that practice as good as they probably should.
It was a positive rant, right?
Yeah, I'm a pretty positive person, I think. So it's a positive.
Did you happen to see the U.S. player Tyler Adams was asked? Did you see that back and forth exchange with an Iranian reporter?
Oh, no, I didn't. Tell me.
No, I think so. I just thought it was a nice example. It did really good. You know, there's a young player in the U.S. and the Iranian reporter said, "You keep calling my country Iran. And why do you keep mispronouncing the name of the country?" And so instead of being defensive, he said, "Hey, look, I apologize. I'm learning. And I'll make sure that I try to say it the right way going forward." And it was really great. It was really, you know, there's tons of great sportsmanship. I think the game between Iran and the U.S., which certainly has a lot of political ramifications, those players really did a great job of making it about the game and sure. great sportsmanship, great exchange between the U.S. coach and the Iranian coach. And so a lot of great stuff for the World Cup this year. I mean, yeah. other than the fact
I
that
mean, it, some, it, where some it great. Is. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's great that it's in Qatar, but I do think there's some opportunities in terms. That's a whole other episode for a whole other day.
Oh, we should do a World Cup episode. That'll be over by the time.
We'd have to invite my brother to that episode. But awesome. Well, Rob, thank you so much. What a great week. Inclusive Collective is a production of Rifleon Media. We would love to hear from you folks. So send us your feedback at inclusivecollective@rifleon.com. You can find us on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. If you like what you heard, please be sure to like and subscribe and rate us wherever you listen to your podcasts today. And if you'd like to get in touch with us for consulting, please reach out to me at nasconsultants.com and Rob at TakanoConsulting.com. Thank you again, folks. We'll be back next week. Be well.
Bye.